Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Work Trends with Megan and Biro. Whether you're here to network, learn, or share, we want you to have fun. During this live broadcast and Twitter chat, we'll discuss the future of work with smart and entertaining guests who value today's business and its impact on the world of work for the future. Stay tuned, because we start in 3, 2, 1.
Can you hear that? I'm clapping, everybody, to that funky music. Don't be jealous, because I know that is like the killer elevator music that I so need to change, by the way. Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Thanks to you all for tuning on in. Welcome to another informative Talent Culture Work Trends live podcast and Twitter chat. Utilize Work Trends today if you want to be part of the conversation. Today's Work Trends event is about a perennial topic in the world of recruiting and talent acquisition. So I want you to just sort of put your seatbelts on. If you want to buckle them up, that's cool. Do it up now. I want to share with you some startling numbers to think about. All right. And I know, I think we all have felt the pain of this, but the average cost of a new employee in 2016 was roughly $58,000. To put that into perspective, for small biz owners, right, the average cost of a bad employee was $8,000. That's a lot of money for a small business owner, and that can really impact your profitability. So today we're fortunate to have learned from the best, and we have a pro here with us today that's going to help us kind of navigate our way through building great employee referral programs that impact business in a positive way. I personally have been through this as a small business owner and as a recruiter, right, in the trenches as well. So I've seen it from a lot of different sides. Today, I have Mike Bachman here. He is the CEO. He's an accomplished sales leader within the human capital industry, and he is with a really cool company called Prefer Hired. And he started in the capital, you know, human capital sales and operations biz within the staffing and recruitment industry. He transitioned over to the job board space, and he's held, you know, many national sales roles from organizations like Monster, Indeed, and Recruitix. So welcome, Mike. What's happening?
Thank you very much, Megan. Super excited to be here. So thanks for having me on.
Sure. Where do you hail from, and where are you calling in from today? They might be two separate questions for you.
No, they're actually one and the same. I reside in the Tampa Bay area, and Prefer Hired is an S Corp based out of Tampa Bay as well.
It's an S Corp. You are getting fancy with me, Mr. CEO. I like that about you. You're thinking in that way, I can tell. How long has this company been around for?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So we were incorporated back of March of 2016, and I've got a great group of people that I'm working with, and we've been live since April of this year. So just about 100 days we've been live so far.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's cool, right? I mean,
very much so.
You and I were just talking in the green room about the fact that this is an extremely crowded marketplace right now. So I give you a lot of credit for having the courage to kind of get on into this party and say, this is how we're different, right? Or this is what we're offering to help reduce somebody's pain in the hiring process, right? Whether you're a business owner, you're a recruiter, you're in those trenches, you're trying to make those matches happen. So what prompted you to do this? Because I know everybody has their own story for why they start something. What's yours?
Yeah, so thanks for asking. So as you mentioned, I was working for some various boards, let's call them, and I made a transition over to Recruitix that you mentioned. And really the kind of the value prop of that company was to help other companies determine job board ROI. So a couple things happened during these conversations. One, I was very surprised how few candidates are actually placed through the job boards. And I was working with the hiring managers to optimize really what their external sources were, like let's call them not number one, but really like number two through 25, depending on how many sources they're using. And the kind of the big elephant in the room for every conversation was the topic of referrals. Mm-hmm. They were always the number one source of hire for companies. And really, the process is broken. I can get into specifics, but it's, you know, from company to company, it's just inconsistent and broken. Mm-hmm. And I came up with an idea, and I pitched a couple of colleagues, and it didn't really take them long to say, wow, this is a really good idea, and you're doing something very different. And just about 2 years later now, we're making it happen. And we are definitely unique in the space, and the premise is referrals, and it's both an internal and external play on that. So,
And I like the fact that you're staying in your niche, right? You're solving a problem. And I'm friends with a lot of other entrepreneurs, right? And we talk about this kind of stuff all the time. If you're not solving a problem right now, get out of the space, seriously, because it's crowded, as I said. So talk to me about what are the most common reasons employee referral programs fail? Like what's behind all this?
Holistically speaking, I would say engagement, team engagement is really, I mean, there's a host of reasons, but I would say team engagement is number one. I could go into others like tracking and even communication is a big issue. So anyway, I would rank those, one, two, and three, maybe employee engagement, tracking, and communication.
And why are some companies not even getting to the starting block on this?
I would say it's got to be, there has to be, as I just mentioned, there has to be that focus on engagement, right? So have a, it's one thing to create an idea, right? But it's another thing to really create the engagement approach to employees. What, in particular, how are you communicating the program to employees? I think those are really kind of the biggest stumbling block. HR practitioners need to kind of take a step back and realize, like, a good referral program, it's not a task that they just, hey, check that off and we've got one. It's it's an ongoing process, and I think that's where a lot of the breakdown comes from.
What are some of the specific roadblocks and bottlenecks companies need to watch for when they're trying to implement something like this? Because I know, I know a lot of companies want to be there, but they're really not sure how to start. And it is, I mean, we'll get to this in a little bit, Mike, but this is such a bigger picture, by the way. This is about digital transformation, in my view, right? This is about getting employees as your brand ambassadors and all of that stuff that I know I like to blog about and have been for many years, but the reality is we got to get people adopting this stuff, and we've got to make it a company-wide deal, right?
Completely,
where do we start,
I would say the first thing you do is remember one thing, and that this isn't something that can happen like overnight, right? So you have to plan. Planning is essential. And with planning, I mean, you have to look at things like the budget. How are you going to engage employees? What's your process of communication? And I think having like a fluid model, meaning you're able to not only have a good plan, but implement the plan, discuss engagement, but most importantly, measure, right? So how often are you measuring? I don't think you can measure too much, but you also have to make decisions based on the results that you're getting from those measurements.
And if there's, knowing what you know now and knowing what I know now, there's going to be bottlenecks, though. What are the bottlenecks right now to not having this happen? And how can people overcome these obstacles right now?
Well, I think bottlenecks might be for example, like what type of incentives do you offer? How are you communicating those incentives? The referral program needs to be really kind of mirroring your overall recruiting goals, right? So any company can do this. It doesn't matter if you're a small company or a large company. With small companies, they might have to, for example, maybe communicate less frequently and a large company may have to pull in other entities. So, you know, with a larger company, obviously there's got to be more engagement, more communication. But what other departments can HR rely on to implement this, such as like marketing? Can your marketing department get involved in the process?
I would hope so, right? Do you
Absolutely.
Agree? I'm hoping marketing's becoming involved. I'm really hoping everybody is, ideally, right? But especially, I think, you know, your managers, your people who are like helping create culture, we hope, or expand
mm-hmm.
upon a culture that we all understand that might be living within our organization. Cool stuff.
Yeah, that's actually a very good
yeah.
point, Megan. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. Go for it.
I was going to say exactly to your point. This is a good referral program is not just HR's responsibility. Yes, they might
right.
Come up with the plan and implement, but really everyone needs to be involved. So senior leadership, often they're going to be the ones in charge of allocating budget. But I would say a really important component to this is getting everyone involved, especially the employees. Obviously, they're the front lines of any referral
mm-hmm.
Program.
Yeah. Employer referrals are just so key. I mean, it's like that magic sauce, you know, and my experience with it is that these people do honestly tend to stay longer. Like, this is not us just talking about this around a campfire right now on the Twitters. Like, they do. Like, I've seen this, right? Have you? I mean, it actually happens because they know about you, right? There's that trust walking in the door. There's that whole thing happening. So,
absolutely. Yep.
So, okay, given the need, we're talking about employees, right? Given the need to kind of up this level of employee engagement, what have you seen that is working right now?
Yeah, great question. So, this is going to vary from company to company, right? And the good news is there's plenty to offer. You can get very creative. A lot of people, or I should say a lot of HR practitioners, think that they have to offer like this, big incentive because maybe they, are aware of what one of their colleagues is doing at another organization. And it really doesn't have to be like that. A lot of emphasis with most referral programs is on the actual hire, on the tail end with a big incentive. But, not everyone on this line may have those types of budgets. And it doesn't have to be a huge
mm-hmm.
incentive. And, like, what I mean by that, you'd be surprised what, like, a $50 gift card could do or a smaller incentive.
Really?
Somebody
recently
yeah.
told me they don't care about that. Just saying. I'm like, okay, well, tell me about that because – but – And where I'm going with this, Mike, I'm not as simple as I let on with you, right? Yes. But you know what's really important? And I talked about this on a webinar that I delivered yesterday, is the context, is the communication in which you handing me that gift card. I feel like it's been personalized somehow, Mike. Like, Megan, you were out and you picked up that red crayon and you did – such and such, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that like kind of adding a little more life into that or description really helps people feel that in their hearts and
yeah,
their souls?
Yes. In our research, so when we were, looking into this idea specifically for ourselves and we're looking from company to company and surveying individuals, a lot of employees participate in the referral program for like a really kind of like to feel good, like 30, let's call it like a third of individuals that participate in a referral program are really doing it just because it's the right thing to do. And I think you nailed something. And that is like activity. It's like, just, it doesn't
right.
have to be the big win. Just the small little tokens can go really far for a lot
of
individuals.
I think so many people still miss that. Like, I get mailed Amazon gift cards like pretty frequently, actually, from people looking to get to know me better, get to connect, whatever it is. They want me to read their book, right? But I don't know these people. And I feel like they're not doing me a service by just sending me a gift card and not connecting the fact that, hey, I know this about you, or this is why I'm doing this. there's so much more. And I think, you know, just those little things, to your point, really add up. It's all about adding context to why. If we can answer the question why today, Mike, and why I like you, and why I'm giving you a gift card, and why I think you're fabulous, we're going to be a lot better off. And we're going to start seeing those Amazon gift cards actually have meaning, because I think that's what we're all really hungry for right now is meaning. At least I am, and I know a lot of the people I'm in conversations feel the same way. So tell me, I'm not going to bring up, I said I wouldn't bring up millennials today. So instead of bringing up millennials, I'm going to say this. Is this a generational thing, or do you feel like companies should take the same approach regardless of department, experience level, et cetera? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, good question. I think it comes back to there's going to be a lot of different cultures. Like, so the listeners say, every company that's on here, there's culture involved there and different demographics within the organization. So I really feel like you have to have a good understanding of how to communicate, how to engage. So, like, for example, does your company use Slack, which is a great way to communicate? That we use Slack as an example. And so our most effective way to communicate is via Slack. But are your employees on Facebook? You know, would they rather receive a text? Would they rather receive an email? So to answer your question specifically, I really don't think it matters the actual specific age group per se, but it's definitely something that you have to be aware of how your employees are communicating and take advantage of that process.
I talked about this a little earlier that, you know, I see this very much as a culture-wide initiative, right? Are there groups specifically, either in your research, et cetera, individuals besides HR that you think absolutely have to buy into this or be involved to make this work?
Yeah. I like to say this, you know, may sound like old school, but it's got to be like really kind of top down, like, you know, senior leadership absolutely has
you
to be
what?
Involved.
What did you just say? My community, they're all exiting Twitter. Everybody stay with us. Utilize Work Trends. Don't leave.
Okay. It has to be really senior leadership has to get involved. Depending, you know, on the resources from HR practitioners, if you have marketing, absolutely. But I think the most important entity here is the employees. Because if you're trying to, you know, if it's a specific department, you have to get them engaged and you have to get them involved. They're going to get their friends and colleagues to come to the organization, and that's really where you'll find the best talent.
So here's the magical question of the day. With limited finances and resources, and I know, Mike, you know, you get it because you're living it right now, right? Right in this very moment. How can small brands do a good job with implementing this kind of an employee referral program?
I would say, again, it comes back to, you know, one, you have to have a plan, right? And you have to have benchmarks with that plan. And you have to measure against those benchmarks, right? So if you have a plan, which includes budgeting and incentives, and that plan also needs to include communication and engagement, which I think I've mentioned that a number of times. It's, you know, really important. Once you have those benchmarks in place and you're measuring against them, I think that that's the kind of the best way to determine, you know, are you meeting those goals? Are you not meeting those goals? And what can you do to increase the performance against those benchmarks?
And who should be doing this? Because certainly, I wouldn't say we want the employees to be involved, but it's not really up to the employees to make this happen, right?
It's not. And again, that's going to vary from company to company. Now, the employees' role is obviously to get them engaged, and you're going to do that by communicating. This is absolutely going to take leadership participation as well. So understanding you know, getting them to participate, understanding what their specific benchmarks are, and then you know, having implementation from that standpoint.
So at what point should an organization call an expert, say like yourself, to help with improving their ERP? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I would say back to the question you just asked me, right? So look at the benchmarks. you know, how are you achieving those benchmarks? The good news is there's tons of options out there, as you mentioned, right, in the onset of this call. There's a lot of resources out there for everyone. So I would say kind of focus on the referral program as not just, again, it's not a checkbox over here. This is an ongoing process. And really, this is part of your overall recruiting process. This is one segment of your overall recruiting process. It's ongoing. And again, measuring to those benchmarks, if you're not hitting specific benchmarks, depending on the results, it could be this is a situation where you need to bring in a consultant. It could be a situation where you would need an FTP or even a platform out there to help increase referrals.
Do you want to talk to us? I'm sure the audience is interested to hear a little bit more about Prefer Hired. I mean, how are you going about it as a company when they're asking you questions just like the one I just asked you? You know, maybe tell us a little bit more about how it works, or maybe walk people mm-hmm. through that a little bit.
I would love to. Yeah, thank you. So with our platform, very unique thing about it. There's several components, but we don't have like an upfront cost or platform cost, right? So we like to say it's actually just a pay for success model. It's something that the hiring manager gets to decide what the budget is, right? So as we're talking about incentives, I know we talked about large incentives and the smaller ones. The nice thing about our product is that as the customer, actually in charge of the rewards. And we've taken a very unique approach to the process, meaning what we've done is we've monetized the recruitment stage into three components. So if an apply comes in, it's a referred apply, a reward is paid to the referrer. If the mm-hmm. candidate is moved to what we call interview, a second reward is paid. And then ultimately, the candidate is hired, a third reward is paid. And we make the payment to PayPal, so it's fast incentive. But the reason we did this is because the heavy lifting is really on the front end from the referral process. So meaning when you ask your employees to refer candidates, they have to go out and find candidates and source candidates and basically put their stamp of approval on a candidate and submit the candidate. Mm-hmm. It's often after the interview, it's kind of out of the referrer's hands at that point, meaning it's now between the hiring manager and the candidate if someone is hired. And so what most referral programs do is they reward on the back end and basically say to everyone who's done the heavy lifting on the front end, I'm not going to recognize you or compensate you for your efforts. And so that's kind of a very broad overview of Prefer Hired. And again, it's something that really anyone can participate in. So if there's individuals within your employees' networks that can also refer a great candidate to you, it opens up that channel to make the referral process really easy. But thank you for asking that.
Very cool. Yeah, no problem. So talk about, I know there's a lot of people who want to make this work, right? We all do. But what are some specific action steps our audience could implement, say, today, to engage their employees and increase this referral activity? Like, just give us some like real time. And then beyond that, I know you're kind of early days, but if you've got case studies or clients who you're working with and you're going, wow, they really get it. You know, it's starting to really take off. We want to hear about that too.
Yeah. Thank you. So I would say just like on the fly, like if you want to do something today, it doesn't have to be fancy. I'll get back to my comment regarding the gift cards or the small incentives, just for the activity. I really think you all will be surprised how less is more in that component. So meaning try to have your referral program maybe based on the activity component. How many submittals did mm-hmm. someone make? Those type of rewards. And again, it doesn't need to be the pie in the sky incentive. So I would really encourage everyone to kind of think outside of the box and think small picture, not necessarily really big picture in that regard. And so are there any follow-up questions from that statement?
Yeah, I mean, can you give us specific examples of what employees might find to be attractive on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll kind of give it an example from Prefer Hired, if that's okay. So we've had companies that have launched inside sales roles, and on the very small $10-$15 payments just for the introduction of a qualified candidate. And a qualified candidate mm-hmm. would be someone, you know, that, yes, they can work second shift. Yes, they have 1 year of call center experience. And you know, basically, in that case, we had a lot of success at generating a lot of upfront activity from a referral process, offering a mm-hmm. very small incentive of $15 paid on a PayPal account. And mm-hmm. from there, the client offered a $50 bonus if they were interviewed, and then ultimately $100 if they were hired. So it was a very large project, and the incentives really weren't astronomical. We were able to really reduce the overall referral cost that they were paying 50% and doubling their referral activity from the platform.
And this is all happening in real time, right?
Real time, yeah. And that's, I mean, if you can think about today's, the technology we're all using today, it's all real time. So meaning what we found is working really well with us is incentives on our platform, and you guys can do this too. It's not just via Prefer Hired, but you can, the faster the incentive, the faster the communication, the better. And one thing we found has been very effective is that when an incentive is offered, let's say a referral is accepted, and we make payment to that individual immediately, they're not just seeing it going into their checking account. What they're seeing is a notification on their phone that you've just made $20. And that serves as both incentive and communication. So I know I've been hammering at communication and engagement.
No,
that's key.
Absolutely. It's so key, right? It's like bonus. So listen,
exactly.
We're down to about
no
3 minutes
intended.
Left. This is, yeah, really. Bonus round. We're down to about 3 minutes. In closing, I actually learned a cool factoid about you, and I know you and I are going to get to know each other. This is really the first time we've had a conversation, which is kind of exciting. But a little birdie informed me that you are possibly the number one fan of Mel Brooks movies. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I'm a super fan of Mel Brooks. I have an interesting sense of humor. I find Mel Brooks, his films are very interesting from that perspective, and I literally still laugh in tears watching his films. But yeah,
like over and over again. So, where did this love of Mel Brooks come from? Tell us just a little bit about you and that. In closing, we're down to about 2 minutes left.
Okay, well, thanks for asking. It probably dates myself, but I grew up watching Mel Brooks' films, and I was introduced to what my favorite Mel Brooks film is, Blazing Saddles, by my father. I was of a good age to watch that, and just ended up just really finding his movies to be absolutely hilarious, and I don't think they're replicated today.
Really?
Classics.
Why do you think that is?
I think the humor has changed from an audience perspective, and I guess I just really kind of relate to that type of humor. In any event,
you are dating yourself. You are
a very talented guy.
You're old school.
He aspired to be a Broadway writer, not a movie maker. So my guess is that later we're going to see a lot more Mel Brooks' films on Broadway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, listen, thanks for stopping by, Mike Bachman, the CEO of Prefer Hired. I will catch you on the flip side.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye, everyone.